I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. We finished today's show with a musical guest who, from the first note, proves she's a truly unique artist, whose electronically infused pop-folk style simultaneously will punch you in the gut, while her Billie Holiday-esque voice will touch your soul. Angela Sheik is an award-winning indie songstress who pushes the boundaries of what a solo artist can do. She's known for creating a virtual backing band of unusual instruments like the auto harp, the theremin, and the flute with a loop pedal. She's so skilled with that loop pedal that she was named the 2011 American Champion. We'll be chatting with Angela Sheik in just a moment, and we'll learn how she creates her sound. But as with all things musical, sometimes descriptions and adjectives can be overstated. So let's just listen. This is Angela Sheik. Angela Sheik, welcome to Coastal Connection.
Thanks for having me.
Your sound is so very unique. I've seen you a number of times live, and usually people in the crowd will literally stop what they're doing if they've never seen you before and just look in wonderment at not only the fact that you're creating a sound that is not, you know, guitars, bass, drums, it's theremin, auto harp, flute, and then your voice and all of the things you're doing with the pedal. Describe for people where you came up with your sound.
Well, it started, I guess, practically. I was looking for light things. I was looking for things that I could carry by myself. And I saw an auto harp. I think it was on Goodwill's website. So that was the stuff. It was just kind of what I come across, things that are light. And I really am going for sounds that you don't hear very often. So something that's a little bit unique. That's the music I gravitate toward. Yeah. So
what's your background as far as instruments go? I mean, you know, you say that you just kind of picked up the auto harp. You know, what are you rooted in? Where was your instruction?
I started playing my grandmother's piano. I really wanted to play the Star Wars theme song. So I think that was my first step. But I was in the band program, the public school band program, and I played flute. That was my start.
When did you find the loop pedal that you've now become not only very well known for, but also you've become a champion of? Tell me the first time that you found one of these loop pedals and then you saw the endless possibilities of what it could do for your sound.
Well, I had a different loop pedal for a long time, and I was at an electronic music festival. And thankfully, some guy came up to me. He was maybe in his 60s, and he said, "You should check this pedal out. I think it would really open up the possibilities for you." I'm so grateful for that man. I don't know who it was, but he was so right. I mean, it really. I got my Boss RC50 at the time. The pedal I have now wasn't out, mm-hmm. And it was just such a songwriting tool for me. It really it kept me from playing a crazy amount of chords. You know, mm-hmm. the loop pedal gives you a structure that I think changed my songwriting.
That's what I find fascinating. And in a little bit, we're going to go in and you're going to walk me through how you create a loop, which I am very excited about. But tell me about the songwriting process for you, because is it as simple as you know, maybe a guy who uses a guitar or somebody with a piano where they sit down at their instrument and they just tinker around and they play? What comes first for you? Is it the melody? Is it the loop? Is it the lyrics?
Usually it's just a little bit. And often, I think I'm an abstract thinker, so I work really hard to make the bit concrete. So my first little bit will be about something abstract like fear. And then I need to tie it to something concrete. I think to make it a good song, there's got to be a picture. There's got to be an image in your head. So that's the work for me. So either we'll start with a little bit like that, that just gets a little earworm that gets stuck in my head, or I'll be sitting on the floor with my loop pedal, just trying to come up with something that, that sticks.
Yeah. And now you just put out a new record. It's called One by One, working with some very talented people, produced by Richie Rubini. Tell me about this record and where these songs were coming from.
Well, One by One, it means a couple different things to me. But one thing is that each song I wrote as if it were a single. Each song, these are, you know, the best I have to the current point in time. And so I was working on them with different producers, and I just had a different vision for each song and tried to match each song with a producer that I thought would understand it. Mm-hmm. So some on there are works with Scott Sachs, and he definitely brings just a certain musicality to the table. A certain style, and it worked really well.
Over the past few years, you've been making your rounds to these big music conferences and showcases and playing all over the United States and as well as all over the globe. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you won the 2011 Boss Loop Pedal Championship here in America. I think the formula many people look at for being a successful musician is playing a bunch of gigs. So, and certainly that isn't the case as much anymore. Tell people what you get out of going to these conferences and doing these showcases and, you know, what it's done for your career.
Well, I've been going to music conferences for years, and I'm a little geek there. I take notes and I'm really listening for, like, what's new? What are people doing that's not reinventing the wheel, but I just haven't thought of yet, and it's already been thought out, and it's already great. But I think really what I've walked away with is you need to stand, not just stand out, but stand up and above the anybody's and everybody's that can get a gig or record on their computer a song. Like, what am I doing that makes me an artist and an individual and somebody that is worth paying to come out and see? Yeah. Am I giving people a night off? Am I giving them an experience? Am I giving them an emotional break or ride? Like, what are you bringing to the table? It's not just a set of songs.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're about to go out on an 8-city tour over the course of the next month. Tell me what putting together a tour as an indie artist is like, and what you're hoping this tour will do for not only this record, but just getting people to understand who you are as an artist.
It's a lot of begging. So shameless self-promotion. So something I'm doing on this tour is I'm having a beneficiary. So I chose Bombay Teen Challenge as somebody to just give a portion of the proceeds to. That I feel a little better about myself saying, hey, let me sleep here. Let me play here. Me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of emails and phone calls and just contacting people throughout the area. I have a team that helps me with that, thankfully. But yeah, just endless connecting the dots.
Yeah, I want to play a track off the record, and this track on the record isn't necessarily, it's a cover song, you know, simply put. This was just nominated by Independent Music Awards. This was nominated for Best Cover Song.
Yay.
This is a cover of Can't Help Falling in Love. So we're going to listen to that, and I'm going to follow you back into the isolation booth where we're going to learn how to create your sound. Small isolation booth here at the Park Recording Studio in Ocean City. I'm here with Angela Sheik. We are going to create a loop. So basically, for people who are just hearing, you know, the wonderments of looping, tell me what we're looking at, what we're using, and what, I guess, the first step in creating a loop.
Okay, we are using the Queen of Boss pedals. This is the Boss RC300, which is basically three pedals smashed together with some effects. which is going to allow us to take some loops in and out. So we can record something, and we can take it out.
So what's the trick? Is it simplicity as far as creating a loop? Because you don't want it to make it too crazy, because then you have to go bigger each time, correct?
I think it depends. If you're going to do a four-minute song, maybe you shouldn't go too crazy. But, you know, I don't think there are a lot of rules. Just,
okay,
you know,
so
trial
and
error.
Let's start with when you're creating a loop, what do you like to start with first?
Usually rhythm. Rhythm is key, and then you can add harmonies and take them out, and the rhythm will stay. I'll give you an 8-beat rhythm, okay? And then we'll see if anything. Then I'll hand the mic to you and just say, go.
Right.
Okay. Okay, you're on. Ready? 3, 4.
All right, so we just created a loop. It's interesting, too, because you
never know where it's going to go.
You never know where it's going to go. And what happens if you're creating a loop and then it just goes terribly wrong? If you come in a half beat too late, everything is derailed and it's a train wreck, yeah?
It depends. There's a quantize option, so you can set all the loops to talk to each other or not. So, Yeah, it depends. And it has taught me as a control freak just to let what happens, happens. If somebody coughs in the audience and it's part of your song, just acknowledge it.
Right.
And it's just a different night than any other night.
Well, that's what, on that loop, it had me giggling, essentially.
Yeah, that's part of the song now.
Yeah. So, okay, so when you play and seeing you live is very, very, it's as much of a visual spectacle as it is a sonic spectacle.
Thank you.
Because you've got the auto harp, and then you've got the flute, mm-hmm. and you're
theremin.
Going back and
theremin.
The theremin, mm-hmm. Which I've never heard anybody rock as hard on the theremin as I have you. I guess with all the moving parts of creating this, with everything on your foot and all the different instruments that you're going, what do you worry about the most as far as keeping up with your own song?
Getting the flute on the flute stand is like my number one concern. That could really wreck a moment, is that flute falling over. No, but honestly, Michael Lloyd, who was one of the judges, he's a producer, he was one of the judges at the Boss Loop Contest, he put it into words and said, it's just got to be about the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a cool trick for like 40 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of watching somebody loop. Mm-hmm. So it's really got to be a great song. And you can, you know, experiment and engage the audience. That's something different. But when you're actually doing your art, it's not about the trick.
Do you find that creating the low end of the song is the hardest thing? Because you have the range of your voice is a bit higher end.
I do, but there's a lovely drop bass option on this. And drop bass fluid and just drop bass with a female voice sounds, mm-hmm. I think sounds cool.
I think it's interesting too, when you first started that off, it was just almost like small little show me how each one of those simple things can mean different things. Maybe we'll create a different one.
What do you mean?
You know, just like you were doing the and then you do on the off beats, and you are almost creating the low end with just simple little spurting sounds.
Yeah, yeah, okay. What I'm trying to do is leave space for something new to come in.
Mm-hmm. You're just tapping the mic.
I'm beating on the mic, yeah.
Yeah.
I bring my own mic because some men don't like when I beat on their mics. You want more?
Yeah. So when you're in your room and you've created this, mm-hmm. right? Then where do you go from there? Do you try and incorporate an instrument into it, such as the flute or the auto harp? Or do you start with words from this beat?
Usually I start here with words or non-words.
Mm-hmm. I find it really interesting with your stuff is that as more and more people find who you are as an artist and they're like, wow, Angela Sheik is really a force to be reckoned with and really somebody that I dig as an artist. As you get bigger, do you worry that they're going to have to try and place you in some sort of genre? You know, you look at artists that you're influenced by, Imogen Heap or yeah. Regina Spektor, it's hard to kind of place them in a box. Do you worry about that as you get, I guess, as your profile grows bigger?
No, that's already a problem. It's already a problem explaining to somebody in a way that would invite them to mm-hmm. come, make them want to come to a show. What genre is the question that mm-hmm. they usually ask? And I don't have an answer for that because, mm-hmm. you know, anybody anymore, your yeah. music as well, it's just a little bit of a million things. Mm-hmm. But I really love the people, especially the women icons, that they are the genre.
Yeah.
Imogen Heap is her own genre. Regina Spektor is her own genre. She made anti-folk in my mind. So, that's what I aspire yeah. to be. Just it's hard to explain it.
It is. I really appreciate you coming to the studio. This has been extremely fascinating to see how this sound is created because it's such a unique sound. We've been speaking with Angela Sheik. She's about to go on an 8-city tour. You can find more about her by clicking to angelasheik.com or you can click to our website, wamucoast.org. Angela, always nice to see you. Thank you for being here. And I know you're going to play us out with another song from the record. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play something. This song is called When Will I See You Again? And it's just me and the looper.
You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo, and this is Angela Sheik.
Bum, 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 sound so silly when I say I wasn't ready for you to go so far away. And now I'm scrambling to say, Johnny, Johnny, hey, Johnny, 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 when will I?